We talked some Mets, some Yanks. One thing that I did want to say, BT, is the Yanks starting a big series in Houston tonight. We touched on it a little bit earlier. But apparently Boone said just a few days ago that he had not considered having Giancarlo Stanton start in left field. And then tonight he is. Now, is it a big deal? No, not necessarily. But, like, is he managing the team or not? How could he say 3 days ago, whenever it was, I think it was Greg Joyce who tweeted it out. How could he say just a few days ago when asked, oh, would you consider playing Stanton in left field in a shorter outfield in Houston? Mm-hmm. And he says, no, haven't given any consideration. The lineups come out or whatever. He's talking to John Boy ahead of the first game.
Yep.
And he's in left field. Like, that's a manager who, to me, is not in control of things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't look at it that way. Maybe give a different answer. Maybe it would have satisfied some people. But to me, you know, you're dealing with the White Sox at that point. How many managers outside of the rotation are really looking at lineup configurations 3-4 games away? I don't know that many are. And if they are, then maybe that's a worse look for Boone than I feel. I don't think it's a big deal. I also think he's trying to get a sense of, like, where is Judge? Like, maybe there was just hope or he was getting close and... Well, you know, and if you get Judge back, then you wouldn't have to consider playing him in Houston. Maybe it's just kind of day-to-day as the right, evaluation of Judge continues. I don't know.
Why not just say, yeah, it's possible?
Yeah, listen, there's probably a more direct route to just avoid, not controversy, but any pushback. But I don't, you know, one thing about Aaron, I don't really think he cares. Like, I don't think he cares, like, what's dissected. I think if he really cared, he wouldn't come on the radio or do John Boy like he does. I think that he's kind of an open book with that stuff, and I don't think he gets too worked up over it. And I myself don't have an issue independent of how we handled, you know, whether or not he would play him in Houston. It's one of the smallest ballparks in right. the majors. You got a 37-foot-high fence in Boston. You got a 314-foot wall in Yankee Stadium in right field. The dimensions of left field for Houston, that is the place to play him.
Right, but what I think is the issue with it, it's not that he said one thing and did another. It's that people doubt that he's calling the shots to begin with. And then when he blatantly says one thing and then another happens, it makes you wonder, well, who told him to... If he himself... He knows about Houston and the dimensions.
He put him there in a playoff game.
So that's the point. So he knows that he's got to get both their bats in the lineup. He knows Judge is not going to be playing sooner than later.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he just be like, oh, it's possible. I mean, it wouldn't be my preference, but who's he kidding? So it makes me think that he didn't really give it any thought. And then the higher-ups, I mean, maybe it could coincide with Judge being on a heater, and then he's instead of giving Stanton a day off or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Judge a day off. Who the
hell knows? I know what you're saying.
Maybe, but I would also think, like, maybe somebody said, hey, Aaron, here's what you got to do, and then he applies the data and puts Stanton left. I'm just saying that it leaves it open. When he goes against what he said a few days ago, indirect or not, on purpose or not, whatever, mm-hmm. it makes people question who's really running things.
Well, did he go against it, or did he just give a little bit of a different answer? Going against it is, hey Skip, you given any thought to putting Stanton out in left field in Houston? No, it's not a good track. I'm not comfortable with that. That's very different than saying, I believe what the quote was a little different than that, right?
Here's the quote from Greg Joyce.
Go ahead.
Aaron Boone 3 days ago, quote, no, I don't have any plans on playing him
it was, I don't have any plans. So that's more along the lines of just abruptly changing.
I mean, listen,
I could see why you would think he would be fed something from the analytics. I mean, I don't know, is it Fishman? Who the hell knows?
I'm just saying, it's not a big deal, but, like, doesn't it make you think, he just said it 3 days ago, no, I don't have any plans there. Here we are, the first game he's playing and left.
Let me ask you this, could he just have misspoken like he did with us, with Aaron Judge? I mean, there's now we're trying to read his mind. When he said what he said to us.
But I don't think he misspoke. I think he was being truthful, and the truth got him in trouble.
With the Judge stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that he's not back yet tells you that his timeline was more in line with than Aaron Judge's.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm not even trying to make an excuse for him. But, like, if it was a big thing, I would say it. I don't think it's a big thing because I don't think that he makes every decision 100% by himself anyway. So, if I've been of the mindset that it's far more collaborative than I wish it was with the Yankees, then why am I going to go nuts over it being collaborative if that's the point with Stanton playing left field?
One more thing on the Yankees. This happened over the break, but I want to get your thoughts on it now because I had an issue with it and I didn't have a chance to talk about it. Did you see his quotes, Boone's quotes about Volpe when he was asked about any thought about sending him down to the minors?
Yeah.
He said something like, on what planet should he be in the minors?
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude.
That's all.
I just don't understand. See, that to me, that thick-headed bullish nature on Volpe in year three. And I'm not saying, like, at this point, I don't even care. Here's what I know.
It's not going to be a minor league season to send him down to anyway.
Was that?
Because it ends earlier.
Right. Exactly.
You know? At this point, starting to hit now.
It's September. There's 20-something games to go.
No, that ship has sailed.
My pushback would be, Aaron, like, you guys have tried it multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working. There was a point where we thought he stabilized. And then again, right back down in the gutter. Like, I like Volpe. I'm rooting for him. Mm-hmm. I feel badly for the kid. He's not a kid. He's a major leaguer.
Yep.
There has to be accountability to where if he's not getting the job done, there are only responses that you can make. One would be to bench him. The other would be to send him down to get him right, whether you should have done it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, this year. Like, that is a realistic part of the conversation. And he thinks we're aliens. And I'm saying we're me. I'm the one who said that Boone should be – that I'm not alone. That Volpe should be down in the minor leagues. Other people have said, I know you disagree with that.
But I said to bench him. Yeah. I didn't say just roll him out there every day and bat him seventh.
But he made it like it's like...
preposterous.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what I think's preposterous? Running the kid out there game after game after game after game, expecting a different result when he can't hit and can't field. And then there's been some stabilization, thank God, to certain levels, but it's gone right back in the tank again. So there's been an up and down. Like, I think that's insane. 3 years with a kid who's supposed to be a top shortstop. You think it's insane to send somebody down to the minors or the thought of that? I think it's insane what you're doing. Like, insane. What planet are you on that you need to continue to watch Volpe and think that he's good? Good God. It drove me nuts. You know me. I love Boone. But, like, the idea that would be outlandish to send him down to the minors to me with the way he's played.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I appreciate the energy because this has been a topic that we've had for a while.
Yeah.
I also think to me, this is not the day to air that energy, only because the Yanks have won 7 of 8 and he had 5 of 5 hits over the weekend in Chicago. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Like, even though I never agreed with sending him down,
right,
I was absolutely looking for some sort of a solution. I would not have run him out there every single day. So we weren't that far apart. Here's why I think Boone does it, and I don't think it's good long-term for Volpe, but let me at least give you why I think he uses such platitudes or words that try to throw people off scent, even though we're obviously not taking the bait here. I think that Aaron Boone looked at Anthony Volpe most of this season and saw a broken spirit. And not that he stopped working hard, but it got so bad that I think that he sometimes overcompensates. That I think what Aaron's trying to do is with his words. This is like psychology 101. By communicating to us, even though we're not buying it, some might, he is hoping that residually that trickles down to Volpe and it has a positive impact on Volpe by being so outlandishly positive about Volpe this year, as he has at points.
Right.
Too much. I think it's coming from a good place, trying to get him going so the kid doesn't melt.
I wish that was the case. I don't believe it.
I don't know either, but that's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah.
Either that, there's a little delusion.
Well, that
or he's just which could be it.
And you're
or
right.
He's trying to protect him, or a little bit of both.
Like, the rant today is not about Volpe himself. It's about the Yankees and their delusion. They are delusional to the highest levels. I don't understand it. Who's buying this crap? I think that they believe it. We all don't. Now, they could get away with it because they went to the World Series last year, because they're going to be a playoff team this year, probably win the division. Like, with all that being said, I've been pretty consistent with saying the Yankees are going to be a division-winning team, certainly a playoff team. I love their offense. But, like, acknowledge some of the reality here. Dude, it's year 3 for Volpe. He has had an awful season. This is by far his worst season.
It's a massive disappointment. Gravely disappointed. No other way to frame it.
Like you feel bad for him, but he's broken.
We have a bet. We got to do this at some point this week. By the way, we have to revisit
the over-unders.
We should do it. It's probably too late today because it's September 1. It would be a good day to do it. Our over-unders, and one of my over-unders was, I believe the number was 287 or maybe 290, like below 300 on base percentage for Volpe. And I'm probably going to wind up winning every other one but that. I remember when I latched onto that, I'm like, this is a gimme, man. This is free money right here. You kidding me? Year 3, Grand Slam against the Dodgers, World Series, a bunch of hard hits, even against the Royals and the Guardians, some that were caught, swung the bat well last October. Yankee fans, you know what I'm saying. He swung the bat well. And I'm saying, this is a layup. This is a 2-foot. Yeah, pick up the, you don't have to putt that. Pick it up. It's good. I thought it was a layup, and it's not. So, but I will say this, Sal. I really believe this, right? Even though our job, and we do it with all the coaches, like earlier today, I reacted to something Aaron Glenn said favorably, right? And we do that. We read Tom Thibodeau. We read, when he was here, body language. We react to what they say and how they coach. At the end of the day, pertaining to Anthony Volpe and the Yankees, it doesn't matter what Aaron Boone says. It really doesn't in this regard. It matters what we see coming out of spring training next year if the final month of the season and the playoffs are not appreciably better. Because that's what will matter. Not what they say, what they do. If they enter, if Volpe's like he's been bad the rest of the way, and he's the unquestioned starter at shortstop next year, then the Yankees are absolutely nuts. And then they're just feeding us a bunch of junk. But if they come in, whether it's Caballero with it, some other backup, some other plan, Lombard makes the team, he's great, he plays short. I'm more concerned about actions. Right. That's what I'm saying when it comes to really anything. But specific to Volpe, the other stuff, what Boone says, whatever. We know he's had a bad year. Bad.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We got Jackson Dart named QB2 ahead of week one, Giants Commanders. Obviously, Jets take it on the Steelers. The Aaron Rodgers Show coming to town yet again for one last time. What will be in store for that with Aaron Glenn starting his new regime? We got the kickoff Thursday night. Looking forward to that with the Cowboys and Eagles. So a lot going on. Amadeo has been holding on.
Rami Amadeo.
From Staten Island. What's up, Amadeo?
What's up, guys? Love your show. Just getting back to the Mets by Juan Soto. I mean, all the Juan Sotos in the world couldn't fix this team. I'll tell you right now with this pitching. You got Manaea and Senga. These guys are a disaster. They're so hard to watch. Every game, unfortunately, we got to score like a ton of runs to even, you know, get a win. It's ridiculous. I mean, what's going on with this team? I mean, it's going to be a problem come playoff time. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to fix this. I really know. We've got to score a ton of runs just to get a win.
It's not going to work, though.
Game after game. Why can't we just win a game 1-0? I would love to see that.
3-2.
You know?
A little stress-free.
Yeah.
Because the starters aren't good except McClain. That's why. That's the answer. That's literally the answer. The Mets have had a historic August. Since 1962, they did things better this month, or last month, pardon me, than they've ever done in any month since the day the Mets were born in 1962. Now, granted, a lot of those teams were trash, but a lot of those teams were good. At least they had some weapons, right? And they still went 11-17. The hitters showed up. Soto's been phenomenal. Nimmo's been hitting bombs. I mean, Pete's on pace for 129 ribbies. Marte's hitting 340 in his last 20. You know, Mullins hasn't done
Vientos
a bunch. But
Vientos woke up.
Vientos has absolutely woken up and provided a real jolt, more like the Vientos from a year ago. And the Mets lost a lot more than they won. Ain't the offense's fault. It's not like they're kicking the ball all around the field or just a comedy of errors on the bases. This is very easy to diagnose. They're starting pitching stinks. Where's the pitching lab? Did they not pay the rent on that? Like, did they shut the lab down? What happened to the vaunted pitching lab, I would like to know? That everybody told me the pitching lab is this, and they're going to recreate that. They're going to salvage this guy from the depths of despair. He's almost a Triple-A pitcher, but we're going to make him. We're going to make him good again. What's up with the lab?
Well, there is no pitching lab.
That's but then why was everybody leaning on that when things were going well?
Well, because they were making something out of nothing. Now it's not even the nothing that they got. They're not making something out of nothing. Now the guys that were supposed to be mainstays aren't any good. So you're right, it's on them to fix. It's on David Stearns to improve. He made a bet that the guys that were here plus the youngsters were going to do the job. So far, it's the youngsters that have done the job, not the guys that were here. Manaea has been a disaster. Senga has been a disaster. Montas, obviously, disaster. We all said that was a stupid signing.
Dumb.
So Stearns, he did not get anybody else at the trade deadline, and the guys that he's betting on have not come through. I don't know if he was betting on or relying on McClain, but he's been the savior. Imagine where they'd be without him. Tong was only had one start, but at least he could give you maybe some length.
His presence, Tong, look, he's not going to be bothered by much.
Yeah, which
he is
like
a chill, calm customer.
So here's why I wouldn't go nuts about it is because I do think in the postseason it changes. We talked about this earlier where everything gets shortened. You cannot have Manaea and Senga continue to start. Like, that to me is asinine. You're asking for it. What do you think's going to happen? Hey, in 5 or 6 days from now, roll out Senga. What do you think's going to happen? The same thing that's been happening for 2 months. He's going to throw BP again. Manaea can be good for a short spurt. That's what he's done since he's been back. I'm going based off of what is happening now. Like, he can't give you any length. Even at Manaea's best this year, he's been a four-inning pitcher of dominance. So move him to the bullpen, get Senga out of the rotation, and have to hope that Tong can do it again. In addition to McClain doing it again, Holmes is fine for what he is. You could piggyback him with the bullpen. And Peterson's going to have to straighten it out. Like, if they don't get it done, they're not going to win. End of story.
Yeah, and listen, the Mets, I think the Mets will have a couple of playoff games where they put up, you know, 7-8 runs. Yeah, depending upon, if they play for a month or so, if they play for one series, then I wouldn't bank on that. But if the Mets play a decent amount of October games and they go beyond one round, their offense is going to show up a few nights. I don't doubt that. But you're not scoring, you know, 6, 7, 8 runs every night where it's going to offset this wretched pitching. Not right. In October.
And I also don't think it's realistic to expect, even with a prolific offensive player in October like Soto, or Lindor's had moments, whatever you want to reference. But even with that, you're not going to hit your way. They aren't, certainly. They're not going to hit their way to a championship. The Mets aren't good enough to do that offensively. They're good. They've been better as of late. I have a hard time believing that this group is going to hit their way to a championship.
I probably agree with you. The one caveat would be, I do think that they can win a lot of high-scoring games.
In the playoffs?
Yeah. If there's the 7-6, you know, even 6-5, 8-7, 9-7 game. They gave up a lot of... They gave up 10 runs a couple times to the Dodgers in the playoffs, so it's not like runs weren't scored at all. They scored a bunch of runs off the Phillies a few games when Vientos and Pete were hitting home runs.
Right.
So they're obviously capable of it. To me, as much as the starters must wake up and start carrying their weight for... I mean, they have to. I think that they can win some of those high-scoring games if the bullpen is completely in order and on lock. Because the Mets at that point, forget about Helsley, they will have five arms that you'd have to say that you pretty much trust. Obviously, you trust Diaz. Obviously, you trust Rodgers. Now, varying degrees of trust, clearly.
No,
that's not Rodgers is the same as Diaz, but you know what I mean.
Trust both those guys.
You have to trust Raley.
Yep.
I know you don't trust Reed Garrett. Neither do I. I wouldn't touch him.
But I'd still trust him more than I would, let's say, Senga taking a spot.
Yeah, but
like,
they've got...
Garrett's going to be... And I trust him more than Stanek. Garrett's going to be on the postseason roster.
I know he is. Yeah. But, and then take one of the starters, whether it's Holmes or whomever you don't view deemable as a starter
anymore.
Also, I said
Manaea.
Yeah, I think that there's enough arms to string this thing together and win some ugly games. Now, maybe you don't win a championship that way, but like if you get that kind of recipe and McClain is the real deal, and I don't want to jinx the young man. I don't see how he's not the real deal. Right. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to go out and be Bob Gibson like in 1968 with a 1-something ERA in the postseason or for the whole year, actually. This kid, he is the real deal. Now, I know that you might disagree because you had such a, and I get it, such a fascination and a love for Matt Harvey. We all watch, and he had the cool nickname, and he had a different persona than McClain. There is nobody that can tell me that Matt Harvey came out and had better pure stuff than McClain. I don't see it, and I don't believe it.
I just remember the first time I saw Harvey, he kind of came out of nowhere, where McClain, at least there was a lot of hype. With Harvey, it was not.
Harvey was a first-round pick out of North Carolina.
Yeah, but it wasn't as much hype. Like, even then, it was more Zach Wheeler than anything else. And Harvey was, when he was on the verge of being called up, he wasn't very good in the minor leagues. And then he came up, and I just remember being blown away by the way he blew guys away.
He had an aura, too. He had a totally different presence.
That's it. But McClain's,
stuff-wise?
McClain's stuff is nasty. And I think he's got the right attitude as well.
He does.
So I don't want to compare him to Harvey. Yeah, but is it going to continue? The guy, he's had to have been perfect so far, which he's been.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tong. Like, okay, it's one start, but he did what he needed to do. Are they going to be able to do it every single time?
Well, the answer is no, because it's the best hitters in the world, and he's human, okay?
Right.
But don't you think the fact that McClain can... And I see more from Tong, but I love what I saw. McClain comes out, he gets a small sample, and he's basically thrown into the middle of this Mets mess.
Yeah.
Now, the Mets didn't say, all right, young man, go save our season, stabilize things, but you don't think as he internalized things, he knew what was going on. He knew about the losing streak, and he knew about, you know, the 3 months of really poor play by the New York Mets after a good start. He knew that, and he came in undeterred, didn't blink, didn't flinch, gem. Oh, yeah, by the way, one was in Atlanta, which is a historical house of horrors for the Mets, and one was against the Phillies. Real deal.
Yeah, no, I get it. And they've needed not only that, they've needed Tong, and they might need Sprope before all said and done here.
Yeah.
Need.
That's,
not
that's
in addition,
nuts.
Like... Need these nuts. Guys to help save their season. You know, I got to do the weekly schedule. If you're watching on YouTube, you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
This week in the NFL, and we're going over the first matchups here. Thursday night, obviously, we got the Cowboys and Eagles. Friday night, Chiefs and Chargers as the fun begins. And, of course, the full slate on Sunday, so we got to organize this here. We'll have that a little bit later on.
But, by the way, have you seen the any of the Netflix Dallas Cowboys?
I got to sit down and watch it. No, you watch the whole thing?
I'm five or six in. I don't know how many. It's phenomenal. The footage is great.
You know what we've been watching? And I watched like the first 10 minutes of it, but I was like, I can't do this half-assed. I got to lock into it. We've been watching a lot of Amanda Knox. You know the Amanda Knox story?
Yeah.
You familiar with that
one? That was a while ago. Yeah, of course.
Well, there was one that came out like 10 years ago, which we went back and watched yesterday because there's a new series that's on Hulu about Amanda Knox. So I've been watching. You know, I'm off. So I'm with my wife. I'm not going to watch the football stuff necessarily. I told you I watched that Jets one. Did you see that one yet?
You know what? The one on YouTube with the fans?
No, it's on Amazon, right?
Yes, you did tell me.
It's last year. Like Vera Tucker is featured on there, CJ Mosley. Like them and their wives.
Yeah, I looked at it. I found a snippet on YouTube. Didn't move me too much.
It wasn't good. I mean, I think you should probably watch it just to watch, but I kind of half-assed watching that too, because it just wasn't very good. But I was into that. There's another one. Oh, did you watch Hard Knocks at all or no?
Yeah, I watched the first two.
Okay,
I always watch.
Yeah, but I mean, the first two, isn't it over now? Or the four out
there?
I'm
saying I'm behind. I didn't watch them all. Okay. Like, I usually, you know, some people don't watch them at all. I still enjoy it, and I enjoy when the first two come out, because now it's like, all right, the season's still a couple of weeks away. To me, that's a good bridge to get excited, even though it's not the Jets or the Giants. And the music, the stories, a little overdone with the third string tight end who you learn too much about, who gets cut anyway, whatever. But I did. I liked it. Oh, I got another show for you as well. Not anything to do with football. Running Point. Are you a Kate Hudson fan? Kate Hudson?
Why do I feel like I've seen the commercial. I am a Kate Hudson fan. Mm-hmm. And I've heard about this. Now, what is it about?
It's a fictitious, supposed to be the Lakers. They're called the LA Waves. And she becomes the president of the team. And
what,
she's supposed to be Jeannie Buss, I guess. Is that Netflix? Hold on a second. I think that's Netflix as well.
Okay, Running Point.
It's good. It's funny. It's almost like a little Entourage meets, I was going to say, like a weird comparison. Friends meets, it's funny. It's good. The basketball scenes are believable. Like, it's just, it's cool. It's a good show.
It looked pretty good, and I am a big fan of Kate Hudson.
I was huge.
Yeah.
When she was with A-Rod.
I was going to say, you went there. I was getting, did that come up at the?
Oh, when we went to lunch? No, I just asked about J-Lo. I didn't ask about, I'll ask about next time we get together. I'm actually more interested in Kate Hudson than I am about J-Lo from A-Rod.
Interested in both. there's also one more documentary supposed to come out.
Okay.
I think, I don't know if it's out or coming out, Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
It's on Hulu, I think it is, right?
Is it out already or not?
I don't think it is.
Because I want to watch, although they got crushed last night.
Did you see the savage quote tweet from TCU, who, as we know, drilled North Carolina last night?
No, refresh me. What'd they say?
North Carolina put out on their verified football account.
They went up 7-0, dude. Jordan in the building, LT. I'm like, here we go,
Jordan
Bill.
Was there, too. Mia Hamm, all UNC luminaries. So I guess UNC put this out yesterday. I don't know what date it is. So-and-so coming to Hulu, blah, 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 UNC football. And then TCU just parachutes in, quote tweets, and says, can you please let us know when the first episode is? Because they know they're going to focus on his first game, and they get their teeth kicked in. They got
that
absolutely.
Was bad.
Dude, this is not going to go well for Bill Belichick.
See, I'm not going there
North
yet.
Carolina.
I'm disappointed. I got myself in a college football pool. My buddy Jimmy Traynor runs it, and it's cheap, easy action. So I'm back in I wanted to have vested interest in college.
Yeah, I get that.
So I do five picks a week. So I was in a Texas, Ohio State.
Who'd you have that game?
Ohio State.
Attaboy.
It should have been my best bet this week. I was actually pretty good. I went 3-2 because I bet with my heart North Carolina last night. But I had South Carolina. Their quarterback looks pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Arch Manning, we were getting ahead of ourselves with anointing him.
Did he have no
Texas
points with 6 minutes to go in the game?
Yeah, I know. The anointing him. Like, I like Sarkisian. I get it. And they'll be better. But Ohio State's a perennial powerhouse.
Their corners, their defense is ridiculous.
I had Miami as well against Notre Dame. So those are my three wins.
You did have Miami.
But either way,
okay.
So I'm trying to get back into college. The problem is, dude, like, single Sal can watch college football all day long.
It's happy Sal.
Yeah. Single in the city. I mean, it's like, I had enough of the family over the weekend.
I can imagine. You were locked in, strapped in for a couple days, bunkered down with everybody.
It was
a nice
vacation. Great to spend time with the family. I'm ready to be back.
I said the same thing to my wife yesterday. I'm like, I can't wait to go back to work. Yeah. I did say that at one point.
See you later. Good
job. It's not so much about her or the kids. The way I am wired mentally, when I have too much idle time, I get bored. I get restless and I overthink stuff. Like, there's only so many around. Bad golf, I could go. I played twice there, played poorly. I had a good time, whatever. So only so many seltzers by the fire that
you,
I can have and hang out.
Stay clear of stray golf balls?
I did not get hit. Okay. God, I played awful.
It's important. All right.
Oh,
that's geez. All
right. It's not all right. I played awful. I mean, I stung the ball a few times with you, and I just played terribly. Point being, I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire. Like that, like whenever that is, a long time down the road, you know, down the road, I can't just not do anything.
Yeah. I'm fine with not doing anything, honestly. I want to not do anything with nobody else around. Yeah. That's the issue. Yeah. It's me. It's the dog. It's the, you know, even last night I tried to enjoy the final day in the pool,
yeah,
and the dog is rolling around in the dirt. So then what do you think happens? My wife comes out and says, you see him? I'm like, no, what happened? And he's all brown. He's got all the dirt all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to give him a bath. I wanted to sit there and watch the North Carolina game,
yeah,
relax, enjoy myself after watching the Mets in the afternoon.
It was funny. I got to give him a bath. It was funny, Maddox. It was funny to see Mrs. Licata, when she needs Sal to do something around the house, the tone is very direct, and Sal responds accordingly. Not that you know, jump out on the snap of a finger, but... let's just say that you're not ignoring her the way I thought maybe you would.
Part of playing the game.
The long game.
Let her think she's in control. She, like, if you ask her.
Uh-huh. She seems in control.
Yeah, she thinks she's in control.
She seems like she's in control with certain things.
Yeah. When everybody leaves.
Although she is, when everybody leaves, there you go.
She says that Sal thinks he's in control.
Yeah, right.
She asked you to do one thing that was so benign, and we're all in the pool at this point. I think the wives were sitting at the table. I think the kids were with us in the pool. Me, you, and Hoff were in the same vicinity having a surfside, right? And I forget. I think it was something with the dog. And it was a very simple request. And you basically said, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, oh, boy. That is basically the same thing that I would have said at that point. And you held the ground on that one. You were pretty firm on that one.
Get the hell out of here. We're doing some surfside.
Get lost.
I ain't getting out. All right, BT and Sal, all the fans. Jeffrey's in the Bronx. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, good.
What's up, buddy?
I have a question for both of you. I don't want you to be biased. If you had to draft a team and you had a choice, Schlittler or McLean or the guy from the Mets, Afina from the Mets, who would you pick and why?
Oh, man. God, that's an almighty, impossible question.
That's a really tough
good
one.
Good one, though, Jeffrey.
That's a great question. It's a fun conversation. All right. So here's the one thing. Now, they both have amazing stuff. The fact that Schlittler, and I'm not even sure if he's my answer, because McLean has looked a little more dominant in his three.
They're both different, too. McLean with the spin stuff.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. I believe that there's a better chance, because this is part of the equation as well, of Schlittler holding up mechanically because he's longer. And he used, maybe, the, I mean, that's not even 100% true, because there's examples to the contrary. I mean, Schlittler throws a little bit harder. The ball's on you quicker because he is so lean and so long. So his just release point's different. Dude, honestly, I don't know if I could pick one. I think that they both have a chance to be top flight aces and all stars.
So maybe maybe the way that you would say it would be, which one, if you could pick right now, and I forget the exact way the call
to pitch a game in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, they're both going to be pitching a game in the playoffs.
But who would you trust more? Were you going to frame it that way or no?
No, I mean, I guess if you were going to bet on which one would have the better career or start your franchise now, you know, not necessarily who's better right now, whatever. You're going to pick one to start your franchise. Like, McLean's been dominant. He's been dominant for three games.
No, I know. But Schlittler only has nine. I'd like to see a few less walks from Schlittler.
Right. I mean,
Few less walks. I mean, they're really both pretty filthy. And the best part about this is that they both seem very emotionally in control.
Right.
And very stable. Like, you know, I was looking at some of Schlittler's advanced stuff on Savant earlier. I mean, there's a ton to love. His four-seam fastball averages 97 miles per hour. It's in the 98th percentile in baseball. It's incredible. And then you watch, and McLean doesn't quite throw that hard consistently, but he throws hard. But then his secondary stuff is just biting and filthy and seemingly unhittable. I think the real key is when the league gets a book on each of them, what kind of adjustments do they make? But in terms of pure stuff, I honestly don't know if I can distinguish between the two. I really don't know if I can.
Especially, like, I'm afraid to say McLean. I'm just being honest with you. I'm afraid to say McLean because then it's going to, who's the best fan? Of course you're going to say McLean. Here's why, or vice versa, if you want to say Schlittler. Here's why McLean to me has been more dominant, but it's only been three starts.
I agree with that.
So who the hell knows? But I would value dominance as opposed to, well, Schwitler throws harder and McLean's got the spin rate. It has nothing to do with the spin rate or anything like that. I do think they're both wired to succeed here long term.
Yes.
So that's an important part of it. McLean, he's got that cowboy. That was his nickname, Cowboy Ohtani, because he was a position player before that. You know his story a little bit?
Yeah, I did. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that familiar with it myself, but just learning about it as we go here.
Yep.
But, dude, an ERA under one in his first three starts, he was given some length as well.
I know.
Like
against teams that and in venues that have not always been kind to the Mets. Atlanta.
Hard to choose between those two, but the fact that he went 7 and 8 innings, respectively, last two times out, doing it against the Phillies, 8 scoreless against the freaking Phillies.
Yeah, yeah. I think if Schlitler can get to the point where he's a little more economical and there's just fewer walks,
right,
then I might lean with him, you know. But yeah, he also just learned to cutter. And so the aptitude, and I'd have to, I don't know what McLean's, like what pitch did he learn most recently? I don't know. But there's an aptitude. I'm not saying McLean doesn't have it. But for Schlitler to pick up a cutter in spring training and for it to be dominant tells you that he might have a repertoire that's already 6 pitches that could be even a 7th pitch at some point.
Yeah, I'm not knocking Schlitler, certainly, and I'm not putting McLean in the Hall of Fame yet. Based on the small sample size, 9 starts for Schlitler, 3 starts for McLean, I would probably side with McLean's dominance because he has given you at least 2, maybe even all 3, true ace-like outings, meaning 7, 8 innings in the last 2 of dominance, and the walks are limited. Whereas with Schlitler, he's got nasty stuff. He's got the high power, and he certainly settled down and gotten better. 6 2/3, his longest start, and the walks.
Those are the walks. I also think that, like right now, if you said, all right, McLean, game one, AL, and at wild card or whatever, or Schlitler, I feel like I'd have a little more confidence in McLean at this point. Just a little. Now, because I do agree, his 3 starts have proven to be more dominant than Schlitler. Close, but more dominant. I think I can delineate that. That's an easy one for me. What I think could be a slight advantage for Schlitler is that he stepped on the rubber 6 more times.
Right.
And while he hasn't quite been as dominant, they haven't figured him out. And I'm not saying that they'll figure out McLean, but until you see the extra 6 starts, there's more evidence that Schlitler is maybe not even staying power. It's an impossible question to answer. It really is.
And it's a great problem to have here in New York that we got Yankees got Schlitler, their guy, and Mets have McLean, so it's exciting to think about. But you're right, Schlitler has more on tape because he's done it longer.
I know this does nothing for this year, but don't think I haven't thought about next year with Gerrit Cole coming back with that elbow, you know, like a robot ready to rock and roll with the
Cole,
new bolts.
Freed,
and, I think about that a little bit. What do you mean? You never know.
Well, I'm saying year to year, you never know.
Gerrit Cole's going to be fine.
No, but then somebody else could go down. Well, yeah, you just never know. BT, just enjoy the now. Enjoy Schwitler and his peak, and for the Mets, McLean, because you don't know.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ray is in Babylon starting us off. What's up, Ray?
I can't wait. I'm going to say this at the end of the season or even the mid-October. I'm going to say, I can't wait because this Jet team, I'm going to declare it, September 2nd, 2025, we're going to the playoffs.
We're going to do it
on the shoulders of this.
What's that?
Yes, we are.
Yep, now
we're going to do it on the shoulders of this offensive line. We got a healthy Tucker. You know, Pittman, I think, is going to show us some real blocking that we're going to need for Fields, and I'm telling you, this offensive line is a line that's full throttle. They're going to blast through the NFL, and I'm telling you, I'm declaring it, this offensive line is going to carry this New York Jet team to the playoffs. I can't wait till Sunday.
I can't wait for calls back after week three when they're 0-3.
Right.
But
he's going to have to amend it. Come on, Ray. Stay firm,
I can't
Ray.
Wait, Sal.
You like the excitement there from Ray? And,
speaking my language, brother.
I was going to say, I didn't know what was talking to BT or Ray there.
It's not delusional. Jets have a really, the Jets have a really good old line. I was looking at this earlier, and this is part of the reason why. This is actually a massive part of the reason why I think the Jets could be good this year. They finally invested resources up front. So Fashanu on the left side is 22. He's a first-round pick. We know about Johnson. Now, John Simpson a little bit banged up, but he came from the Ravens and the Raiders before that. John Simpson's a good left guard, and he's pretty young, mid-20s. Joe Tippmann, second-round pick. He's 24. I like him at center. We know about AVT. It's never about is he good. It's can he stay healthy. 26 in his prime, first-round pick. And Amembu is a 21-year-old, first-round pick, top 10 out of Missouri. Like, those guys, and then you have the good running backs, and now, and really, to me, it should open up a window for some gash plays with Fields. Like, the more you sell out to stop the run, the more Mason Taylor or somebody else is wide open or a fullback. You're like, wow, where's the defense? Well, because they've been getting their heads crushed all day in the running attack that they lose sight of a basic assignment. And I think the Jets are going to have more gash plays this year with Fields than with Rodgers.
I'm all for a more competitive, more disciplined, more buttoned-up season from start to finish. I think the talk or the idea of playoffs is just not, like, I don't think the Jets are in that conversation yet. It doesn't mean that they can't. The Giants weren't in that conversation, to your point, a few years ago,
yep,
but they made it. But we saw what happened there. I don't think the Jets are, I think they're, the idea is to build to that level. And this year, if you could win 7-8 games, but show that you're building to that level, then I would be excited about next year. Maybe they get their own quarterback in, your rookie quarterback. Like, there are going to be many steps to the building up process from where they're at. It fell flat on their face. They went all in for Rodgers, which I wanted them to do. You wanted them to do it as well. It didn't work out. Okay. I would have liked them to bring back Aaron Rodgers. I understand why they didn't. It's a totally different regime, new feel. I don't think, like, do you think that they're better than the Bills?
No, I don't think they're better, okay, but it doesn't mean they can't beat them because they always beat them at least once. But no, I mean, of course not.
I mean to win the division. I'm talking about win the division.
No way.
Okay, so that takes them. I agree.
They're not winning the division.
Okay, they're not winning the division.
I'm thinking last wild card.
Okay, but that means that they're going to have to win one of the three wild card spots.
Do you like the way Miami's going right now? Actually, no. You asked me. Go ahead. I'm saying. So
do you think that they're better than the Steelers or Bengals?
Well, we're going to learn a lot about the Steelers coming up this week. My answer gut right now is probably not. Probably not. The Bengals, I know everybody's fixated on Burrow and he's a beast. That defense stinks. And I'm not even sold on the coach. So I don't think the Bengals, now, are they? I don't even think they're playing head-to-head. I don't think they play each other. Did they play the Bengals this year?
No, I just pulled
I don't think that they do off the top of my head, but I don't think the Bengals are a team that's going to win 12 or 13 games.
Well, they
Maybe they do, but my point is, I don't think they're going to have a gaudy win total. Like, I don't look at the Bengals.
Yeah, they do. They do play the Bengals week 8.
All right, well, with that defense there, the Bengals, and we'll get the more immediate answer, which is good. But the defense in Cincinnati is so porous that I don't think that they'll be able to win 13 games or so. Like, a number is so beyond reach.
Even in a bad year, they won 9 games a year ago and missed the playoffs. Like, that could be another conversation. How many wins do you think it's going to take to get in? The Bengals won 9 games last year and didn't get in. You might need to get in with 10.
Well, if it's 10, then I'd say the Jets aren't probably, you know, if it's 9. Really, this is all based on what I said. Because there's a point before the point. My main point is, I expect, late November, first week of December-ish, where the Jets, where you're watching the games on the couch, and you know how they say, in the hunt, they put the standings up, and it's not just the gratuitous, like, all right, let's put a 4-win team up there because everybody's still on the hunt because nobody's mathematically eliminated yet, but it's more along the lines of, Jets have cranked out a couple of wins. They're not among the best teams at all. They're a step or two below the teams that are locks for wild card. And if they get a little hot and get a little lucky, maybe they can mess around and get one. I honestly feel that.
Maybe in the NFC, I would agree with you. I think the AFC. Raiders, I expect to be better. Now,
than the Jets or just better than they've been?
Better than they were last year.
No, I agree with that too.
Yeah, I mean.
But then it doesn't mean they're going to be better than the Jets.
No, but I think that they're going to be better than they were a year ago.
Yep. So,
and I think that they could be better than the Jets. The Broncos, I think, are legit.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers, even with Slater getting hurt, the offensive
That's
lineman.
A big say. They're going to miss him. He's a stud, Slater.
Yeah, but they still got more than enough.
And a great coach.
An excellent coach.
I got you.
Obviously, the Chiefs. But just say you have three teams in the West competing for a playoff spot. I think the Jaguars can be better this year. Now, again, how good? I don't know. But, I mean, they're starting at a good point where they have a very good quarterback with Trevor Lawrence, right? Yeah.
He's
a quarterback.
He's good. Is he very good or is he good?
Well, he's better than Justin Fields.
Understood. But, the Jets defense is better than the Jaguars. If Trevor Lawrence is so good, why the hell are we sitting here saying, did they pick the right guy or is the hype justified?
That's four teams right there. I'm going to leave out the Browns, Titans, Colts. I don't think are going to be any good.
No.
The Bengals and Steelers, that's another two teams right there.
What about the Dolphins and Pats? How about the two teams in the division?
I think the Pats are going to be better than they were last year.
I agree, but will they be good? Like, I think
they're going to be better than the Jets. I do.
They almost always are. So I'm not going to even just say that the Jets are. But
they're going to be well coached.
I know.
They've got a quarterback now.
I wanted Vrabel, so you know I love Vrabel. And I'm not looking past them. And they do have some components on defense, and they got an interesting. Yeah, I get it. But I also look at an AFC East where I'm saying, all right, the Bills, the Bills are no longer ascending.
Right. Could the Jets be second in the
AFC? I mean, Miami, I think Miami has a new coach next year. I think McDaniels is gone. And the Pats are not ready to win 9 or 10 games. The Pats don't have the O-line the Jets have, and I don't think they'll run it the way the Jets do. And I don't think they fit the Jets' defense.
Well, to be a playoff team, they're going to have to be second in the AFC. There's no way they're going to make the playoffs and be a third team in the AFC. Yeah.